Good morning, everybody. It is Friday, the 9th of October, and we are sliding quietly into the weekend. The market is down 11 this morning. We had Wall Street up 122. Our futures were up 12, and we sort of flopped around from positive to negative this morning without any major moves. There are a few upgrades around in net wealth. Cimex had some good results there up. Gold sector is up on the back of a turnaround in the gold price, and energy looking a little bit better, but not exactly popping on a good rise in the oil price. Right, that aside, there is a major theme this morning in the strategy piece, and I have to thank one creative out there somewhere for providing our image of the day, which is a bull, or at least the bronze bull that sits near the New York Stock Exchange, rising out of a blue sea, and the theme is Democratic Sweep. Earlier this week, we were calling it the Blue Wave, and this is the bull market emerging from the blue wave. That phrase has morphed into this Democratic Sweep. And I've got a few headlines in there today. Bloomberg carries a graphic showing Biden leading in six battleground states. I'll give you some other headlines as well. Trump hit with wave of grim poll results for battleground states. Bloomberg headline. Another one, Biden holds daunting lead over Trump as US election enters the final stretch. And there's a chart there of Biden leading in the polls, 50.4 against 41.3. That's a big gap so close to the election, and it's widening as well at the moment. Biden ahead 9.1 points. I would say it's not so much Biden as the Democrat machine. This is not so much a personality election for him. It's probably in his favor to try and emphasize the lack of personality. We've probably had enough of 4 years of presidential personality, I've got to say, but there we go. Of course, we've learned that the polls and the bookies can be unreliable, but it is worth noting that the biggest upsets, which establish this idea that the polls don't know what they're doing and the bookies haven't got a clue either, were the Brexit vote and Trump's 2016 election, both of which saw the underdogs win, but both were arguably a shock courtesy of that innovative social media targeting of swing voters. Remember the Cambridge Analytica scandal that cleverly manipulated these wins for the underdogs, and hopefully, possibly, we've all grown a little bit smarter about that. So maybe we can rely on the polls. We will see on November the 3rd, of course. Now, the relevance of this Democratic sweep is summed up in a Financial Times article and in the strategy piece today. Financial Times has carried an article talking about a Biden stroke Democrats win leading to a more robust economic recovery than expected. And this is the main point, that a Democratic sweep could bring on an accelerated economic recovery. Of course, it will rely a little bit on vaccines and viruses, but Morgan Stanley has also written about it today. They've talked about an interest rate scare, and they're talking from a bond market point of view and the negative impact that an economic acceleration would have on the bond market. It would be very good for equities. But you'll see a chart of the 10-year bond yield in the strategy piece today, and this is what Morgan Stanley are worrying about. The US 10-year bond yield is the highest it's been since June. It's rising. And if we were to return to pre-COVID levels, then effectively interest rates from here could double. And we are at the moment obsessed with a 0.15% cut in rates in Australia. Well, if we got back to where we were pre-COVID, you'd see the 10-year bond yield in the US go from the current 0.77% to 0.16. So it would effectively double. It would go up about 0.8, which may not sound significant to you or anyone else who's had a mortgage in the 1990s, but it would be very significant for the markets, and it would reflect a new economic optimism. And the rise in the bond yield explains why our market is up 4.5% this week. There's a switch out of bonds into equities. There's a new economic optimism. And the bull case is working on the following. I've written these logical steps in the strategy piece today. It starts with a Democratic election sweep, then a bigger and better stimulus package put in place almost immediately, a new economic optimism flowing through the US economy, US GDP upgrades, global GDP upgrades, a peak in unemployment, a rise in inflation, higher interest rates, as Morgan Stanley says, an interest rate scare, bond prices fall, and a big switch from bonds to equities. And you can throw in on the top of that a Trump's gone relief rally, an end to trade wars and protectionism. We've had 4 years of waking up with daily negativity towards China, which has hurt economic prospects. That could all disappear on November the 3rd and be replaced with some collaboration with China and with Mexico. You know, China and Mexico between them account for 19.6% of US exports and 29.6% of US imports. And Trump has done nothing but relentlessly persecute them for 4 years. We could get a whole backflip on that attitude and see a return to some foreign policy with integrity, and for the stock market, an end to the risk and volatility and unpredictability of midnight tweets. Add all that lot together, particularly, and this is the macro point that I'm making today, particularly the GDP upgrades, the Financial Times' surprising economic recovery, better than expected, interest rates up, equities up, and you can see you suddenly don't want to be short the equity market. I read one article of a US market strategist designing what he calls a Biden blue portfolio, and I think the themes would change if we got an economic recovery. It would involve different equity market themes and include more cyclical stocks and recovery stocks, like the stocks we've just sold, energy sector, REITs, banks, financials. But I think in the short term, what you're going to see is as this, or if, because it may not happen, but as we approach a economy without Trump, you'll see a risk on rally. And you'll see that already happening this week. The stocks going up have been some of the very high PE or no PE tech stocks and other growth stocks rather than banks, which, for instance, are being left behind today. So a short-term risk on rally, longer-term more reliable or faster economic recovery, and it might all become clear over the next few weeks. Of course, the one fly in the ointment for the blue wave is the winter wave in the northern hemisphere. The virus is pretty much out of control, really, compared to ourselves, and there's a lot riding now on a vaccine. Cases rose in 23 US states yesterday. France and UK are considering more significant restrictions. We need to keep an eye on all that. We really need a vaccine to prod this economic fire, which might be starting. Right, that's about that. A few other quick things. Chinese markets resume trading today after the Golden Week holiday, so we'll start seeing the iron ore price moving around again. Bank of America Merrill Lynch have just increased their iron ore price forecast for the fourth quarter and for next year, with a forecast above $100. They've gone from $100 to $110. Anyway, all good for the likes of BHP and Rio, although they haven't moved today. And Fortescue as well, of course, but the other stock to keep an eye on, which has got a few buy signals and is an iron ore proxy, is Mineral Resources. You might have a look at that chart. More for the traders than the long-term investors. All these resources are trades at the end of the day over some time period or another. Weekly jobless numbers in the US came in a bit better than expected. There was a missed opportunity in the US vice presidential debate yesterday. It failed to excite influence or impact, but the interesting takeaway appears to be this missed opportunity of a fly landing on Pence for some minutes, and Harris missed the opportunity to say there are no flies on me. Anyway, I notice also I shouldn't promote stocks I hold personally, but I do hold, and I've declared that a number of times, POS beside Nickel. I did that in the Boardroom podcast with Peter Harrell, the CEO, a month or two ago. Anyway, they seem to be having a resurrection. I think there was a presentation at the Australian Nickel Comp in the last couple of days. All right, that's about that. In the strategy piece, I've put the growth portfolio in today and the ETF portfolio. We're now pretty much fully invested in the growth portfolio. We've got 3% cash only. And whilst we're there, the only disappointing stock at the moment is Newcrest, down 5%. We haven't quite timed that right, but it's up 2.3% today. All is not lost. Otherwise, everything going okay, I think, after our additions yesterday. And now the game is, as we're fully invested, the game is, do we have the best stocks? And that involves daily reassessment of every stock we hold, which is what we do, and daily reassessment of whether we need to or can find a better stock in case we boot one out, another one in. Anyway, happy with how it's going at the moment. You'll see the performance chart in there. It is rather good. The ETF portfolio as well is in there today, and that is kicking along very nicely. There is is something, I have to tell you, there is something as a fund manager very stress-free about knowing that you're achieving a compounding return. When you're stock picking, trying to chase that compounding return is a very tough benchmark that involves a lot of activity, a lot of brain power, a lot of vigilance, and yet here we are with an ETF portfolio achieving a long-term compound return at low cost, low activity, low volatility, low risk, low stress. It's the sort of thing single-figure handicaps are made of. Anyway, we are jumping through the administrative and compliance hurdles to set up an ETF SMA, although that looks like a 2021 project at this point in time, but you never know, may come earlier. Finally, technical observations in the newsletter today. Lots of charts as usual, a few interesting ones in there. QBE continues to be a good play on a rise in US rates, which if that whole blue wave theory turns out, then QBE could be a good trade on that. And a few others in there, Sigma Health, Samphire Resources, Cleanway, which we bought yesterday, all looking viable for a trade on the charts. Good, that's about that. As I say, quiet Friday as I leave you. ASX 200 down 11, narrow range today, up 22 to down 14. And the Dow futures, encouragingly, up 106. I will see you tomorrow in the weekend email. You have a good day.